I'm here. Good morning, y'all. Hey, I thought I had hit go and I had not hit go. We're going to get started in just a second. Do me a favor, start sharing the devotional. Oh my goodness. And I am going to pray for us in just a second. I'm so grateful for God. I'm so grateful for who He is. I'm so grateful that He wrote my story, that my story doesn't end in a particular place or a particular thing. So grateful that He chooses every day to give us brand new mercies and fresh grace. Ooh, thank you. Thank you, because I need them. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Tell me something you're grateful for this morning. Oh, my goodness. We thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you, we glorify you, Lord God. We thank you in all things. And I'm going to do some sharing. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father God. We thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify 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 you. Sit. You need to sit. We glorify you. We glorify you. Oh, we glorify you. We glorify you. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you. Good morning, y'all. Tell me something you're grateful for, and then we're going to get into today's devotional. We bless your name, Lord God. We magnify you. We thank you in all things. We thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for strength. We thank you for grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for peace. We thank you for how well you love us. We thank you for Jesus. We honor you this morning, Lord God. We bless your holy name. And we just say thank you. Thank you for strength. Thank you for clothing us in our right minds. Thank you. We are in our right minds. Thank you, Father God, for you give us wisdom for choices and decisions. We thank you, Father God, for the blessing. We thank you, Father God, for Jesus. We thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, that you can navigate us throughout our day. We thank you for wisdom that comes from above. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Father God, for the activities of our limbs. Thank you, Father God, that my voice can speak. Thank you for the internet. Thank you, Father God, for YouTube, for Facebook, for Instagram, Lord God, ways that I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God, for just your grace. And thank you, Father God, for your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for decisions and choices. Ooh, I need to share. Thank you, Father God. I'm going to start sharing. I didn't share yet the devotional. You do me a favor. You share the devotional. If you're on YouTube, give the devotional a thumbs up, like it, so that others may see it. We thank you, Father God, for just the way you love us, that you are not fickle in your love for us, that you love us from such a tender place. You understand us. Thank you for understanding us. Thank you for even when we do things that are not pleasing to you, that your love doesn't change for us. Ooh, thank you that your love doesn't change for us. Thank you, Father God, for that. Thank you. Thank you that your love doesn't change for us. Oh, I'm grateful for that, that your love never changes for us. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us opportunities to get it together. Even when we don't have it together, thank you, Father God. Thank you for giving us opportunities to give to get it together. Thank you for giving us opportunities, Lord God. That no matter the circumstance or the situation, that you're with us, that you're still with us, and that you never leave us and you never forsake us. Can you write that in your journal, in your planner this morning? God never leaves us. God never forsake us. He does not. He just does not. He does not. And even in the middle of a storm, we can find the presence of God. Lord, I thank you for letting me find your presence and you being present. And we want more of your presence. We want more of your presence. We want you with us more. We want to experience you more. Thank you, Father God. Just thank you for unconditional love. Woo! Thank you that you do not love like we love. As humans, conditionally, you love us unconditionally, and we are so grateful. I'm grateful for that, too. George King says he's grateful for family and friends. Good morning to Shannon. Good morning, Marie. Good morning, Arnetta. Good morning, Roselle. Good morning, Crystal. Good morning, Aunt Cheryl. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Lavinda. Good morning, Mama Jeanette. Good morning, Lydia. Good morning, Masa. Good morning, Nisi. Good morning, Marie. Good morning, Casey. Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Deshauna. Good morning, Cherie. Good morning, Edie. Good morning, Nia. Just so grateful, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we just worship him for a second and give him gratitude and thanks? Thank you. 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 Hey, Katina. Hey, Boo. Good morning. Good morning, Marie. Good morning. Bless you. We 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 give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. And we give you all the praise. Thank you. 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 This morning, Lord God, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, Lord God. We thank you and know that there is a greater work that you have to do in our hearts. So we thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for just your grace. We thank you, Father God, for your grace. We thank you, Father God, for your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. We thank you, Father God. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your power that can be seen in our life. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Ooh, thank you, 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 thank you. We thank you, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you, we thank you, 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 thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh my God. So I want to give you this. Y'all know we've been in Joshua, we've been studying the book of Joshua. And every bit of the way or along the way, what God has come and done for us is he'll insert a little more or another segment that we need to add to this season in our life. God deals with us in seasons and cycles. And I love how tender and responsive he is. So this morning, 2 Chronicles 7:14 just kept being replayed in my mind. And we're just going to dissect what was culturally happening in this season, the culture before Solomon builds the temple. So you got to understand the context of this scripture. We've had this scripture. We've heard this scripture again and again and again, but you need to understand the context, right? You need to understand the verses before it, the verses after it, and how it overall fits in the story of what God is doing. God was calling his people to pray, right? And God enacts his hand in history like nothing else, because again, prayer, woo, come on, y'all, Prayer is our relational communication to God. I want you to grab this morning. Anytime I have been in a struggle or a hard place, I know for a fact that the enemy loves to shut me up, and I feel the strain. Anybody else? Raise your hand. I feel the strain to pray, and it's sometimes been hard for me to pray, especially when the warfare has been so heavy, when things have been so strong. And it's funny because people will come along and they'll offer you scripture and thought and prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to bear the burdens of one another. We're supposed to be there, bear for each other. But there have been seasons and spaces in my life where stuff has been so hard. It's been so hard for me to pray. Like, it's just been so hard. It was so hard for me to pray. And I know that prayer is essential to my relationship with God, because prayer is how I communicate with God. Like, prayer is how I communicate with God. It's how I communicate with God. It's my relational communication to God. When I say that, my relationship to God is really dependent upon my prayer life. Woo! Come on. Like, you got to get revelation. So of course, every tactic of the enemy is to apply so much pressure to a state or a place where we will shut our mouths, where we will cut off communication from God. I tell you guys all the time my story when my late husband went to be with the Lord, and probably one of the most significant, most powerful things was, for 6 months, I wanted nothing to do with God. I was hurt. I was broken. I was confused. I was frustrated. I was mad, right? I was mad. I was overwhelmed. Like, I'm not going to tell you, I was like, oh, Lord, yeah, bless you in this situation. I wasn't, oh, Lord, bless you in this situation. And I'm just telling you, I had to get back into a position and place where I understood, as long as my mouth was closed, the enemy was almost like prevailing in victory. In Daniel 13, when Daniel is praying and the angel arrives, he was like, from the first moment you prayed, we heard you. Woo! Come on. From the first moment you prayed, we heard you. Like, we heard you. It's just the adversary, right? The prince of Persia, whatever, was fighting for your deliverance to come, was fighting for your change, was fighting against your peace, woo! Was fighting against your answer. But we also see in Daniel 13 that Daniel, no matter what was going on, kept a position of prayer. Come on, y'all. He kept a position of prayer. So 2 Chronicles 7:14, as I was muddling around on this morning, looking through what God is saying, understanding the context of the verse, understanding the meaning and the application, it seems like it's straightforward. Like, it seems like it's quoted in such a way. But when you look and approach the context of 2 Chronicles 7:14, you realize that this is after Solomon had dedicated the temple. The Lord appeared to him and gave him some warnings and some reassurances. Woo! Right? The Lord appeared to him. So he says, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send plague among my people. And then he tells him, he said, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So this verse is tied up with Israel and the temple and the fact that from time to time, God might send judgment upon the land in form of drought, locusts, or pestilence, right? And then a few verses after this, God says, but if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I've given you and go off and serve other gods. So he's telling them, he says, if you do this, right? He says, if you go off and you forsake the decrees and commands I've given you and you go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I'm going to uproot Israel from my land, which I've given them, and I'll reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. That's what he's saying. He says, I'll make it a byword, and he goes, and I'll an object of ridicule of the people. That's what he's telling him. That's the 19th through the 20th verse, right? So No doubt that Solomon would have recognized this warning as like, this is a repeat of what happened in Deuteronomy 28. This is almost like a repeat of what God told him in Deuteronomy 28, when he was telling him he's going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. And many of us have been in a season where we have, we've seen, like we know, understand the judgment of God. Now we have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Somebody wrote that, write that in there. Thank you from the blood, for the blood that takes us away from the curse. And probably some of us have even felt like we have been under the judgment of God. But what we're recognizing and what he's saying, God had entered into covenant with him. And when we when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God enters into covenant with us. We are in covenant with God. You are in covenant with God. You need to recognize that you are in covenant. I am in covenant with God, right? So God was recognizing the covenant with them. He was recognizing and saying to them, I promise to take care of you. Woo! As long as you obey me. Woo! Come on. He said, I promise to take care of you. That's what he's giving them. As long as you obey me. See, Israel had gotten into a position and a place, I hear you, Lord God, where they had become culturally independent of God. Woo! Come on. They had gotten into a place where they had become culturally independent of God. And when we are culturally independent of God, we're not praying. We're not worshiping. We're not humbling ourselves. I know there have been seasons and cycles and places and things in my life, I'm gonna be honest, where I thought I could do it without God, or I thought the ways of manufacturing the blessing, or trying to come into the blessing, or trying to work the blessing out on my own, right? And so God wanted to lead his people. Woo! God wanted his glory to fill their temple. God wanted to remind them as a culture, if you want to be free of God, he'll let you. That's what he was telling them. Yeah, when people talk about I have permissive will, you do have a permissive will. Anytime you make a decision that you want to be free of God, God will allow you to be free of him. But when you walk in a freedom that's outside of God, unfortunately, when you walk in an independence that's outside of God, unfortunately, it opens up the door sometimes for dire consequences, right? And so it's just the truth. So here God is dealing with unbelievers and believers. And here God is setting the tone as well for the relationship with God, under equally communicating to his people how important obedience is, but also equally communicating to his people how important your prayer life is. Woo! Come on. How important your obedience is. Come on, Holy Spirit. And how important your prayer life is. Come on now. My obedience is important to God, and my prayer life is important to God. And he emphasizes this. He lays what I would call an infrastructure. Woo! Come on. Into the relationship with God for the glory of God to be present. He lays an infrastructure. He reminds Solomon of the agreement. If Israel obeys, they are blessed. If they disobey, they're going to be judged. Ooh! And so it's a promise to an ancient Israel, but I think we can turn around and look at even the places that we are in, and if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek God's face, if we repent, then the healing, God will heal our land. God will heal our politics. God will heal our school structures. God will heal, come on, y'all. God will even heal our hearts. Come on now, even heal our places. So I want to give you just some of the key elements that I feel like God was talking to us this morning about. First of all, humility. Ooh. If the Lord don't always have to work on me with being humble, like humble yourself, Lord, humble. And it's my responsibility to humble myself. It's not God's. I don't want God to humble me. It's my responsibility for me to humble myself. So what does it mean for me to be humble? Come on, this is a good lesson this morning, right? When I'm humble, I'm dependent upon God, then it's less important about who I am. It's less important about who I am. Oh my God. This is not about my own importance. When we were on the prayer call on Saturday, we talked about releasing and replacing our utter dependence on God, recognizing and realizing I can't do anything without God. So I replace my strength. I replace my ways. I replace my thoughts. I replace how I handle things, and I insert my utter dependence on God. This ain't about what I did. This ain't about how I prayed. This ain't about how many. That's why I know in Ephesians, when he was emphasizing our works, you know, you get your works. We love to list what we do. Woo, Lord, forgive me for listing what I do and just being in a position and a place where I pray. We love to give when all that we have, all that we own, all that we do, and all that we are cannot be estimated in our own importance. Oh, Lord, we are not more important than you. We are not greater than you. And it's not enough for us to just say, there's nothing I can do without you. But it's also that I act like that I don't do anything without you. Ooh, I act like I navigate. I invite you in to my marriage. I invite you in to raising my children. Ooh, I invite you into my finances. I'm going to invite you into my health process. I'm going to invite you in to how I see myself. I'm going to invite you in before I write a text. I'm going to invite you in before I make a phone call. I'm going to invite you in before I watch something, right? I need to invite you in. I need to humble myself under your hands. So he says, my people who bear my name, right? This is his covenant people that he is talking about. And because we have accepted Jesus Christ, we don't have to go through a priest. We have a covenant relationship with God. Ooh! So the first thing that puts us here is my covenant relationship with God. The second thing that moves God's heart is a humble heart. A humble heart is going to move God's heart. Come on. A humble heart is going to move God's heart. Humility inserts dependency on God. And then we recognize John 15:5, I can't do nothing without God. Come on, y'all. And then the next part of this element is we going to seek his face. Woo! Matthew 6:33 reminds us, replacing worry, putting worry to the side, because when I'm worried over something, I usually seek it. Come on, y'all. Stick with me for just a second. When I'm worried over something, I usually seek it. I usually will seek it on my own. When I'm worried over the relationship, when I'm worried over the marriage, I start seeking ways to fix the marriage. When it may be in a position or a state that only God can fix it. When I'm worried over my children, I start seeking ways to fix my children. Woo! When it may be only a divine intervention. Come on, y'all. When I'm worried over my finance, Crystal, I'll start seeking ways to fix my finances. Woo! Right? I'll start seeking ways instead of seeking his face. And in a place where it looks like maybe everything around me is disheveled or empty, or even before it gets to the place where things are broken up. Woo! If we could learn where things like that, I'm not just running to God when I'm in trouble, that I'm seeking his face as a continuous way of living. Come on, y'all. Woo! I'm seeking his face. This isn't just, Lord, thank you for the food. This isn't just, Lord, thank you for blessing me. This ain't just, Lord, keep me. This is a prayer that turns me, because when I'm seeking his face, then I turn towards him. Woo! And I look to him for the direction, for the results, for the answer. Oh my God. God is always open to us for us to seek his face. So the scripture in Psalms, I think it's Psalms 84 and 11. Open now my mouth wide and my God will fill it. So I'm seeking his face. And then I'm going to, the next element or the next part of the scripture, and then I'm going to turn from my evil ways and I'm going to turn from my evil ways. So when I turn from something that displeases God, then I turn to what pleases him. Lord, reveal to me anything in my life that is not pleasing to you. And sometimes we don't even know that something in our life is not pleasing to God. Sometimes we've been moving in such a way that we would not even have greater understanding that whatever this is not pleasing to God. So sometimes we need to, Lord, I'm seeking you this morning to understand what I may have in my life that's not pleasing to you. And then when I do have something in my life that is not pleasing to him, Lord, I'm gonna need your strength. Woo! That was the greatest thing. Can I tell y'all, that was one of the greatest things in dealing with anything sexually immoral in my life. Like, I had to really place myself in my feet and say, Jesus, I need you to give me your holiness, and I'm going to have your strength, because this is what I'm used to doing. This is a stronghold. This is something that has been in my life for so long, and I'm going to need your strength to walk away from this. And then I don't care if it's something like worry, because worry doesn't allow you to seek your face. Worry can turn into sin. So I'm just like, Lord, I need to, when I was a chronic worrier, Lord, I need the strength to break this habit of worry in my life and learn to seek your face. Help me. And the word of God says, submit to God. Come on, y'all. Resist the devil. And then guess what? He flees. I taught Saturday about the temptation. Woo! Of doing stuff on your own. Like the temptation. That's what I taught about on Saturday. The temptation, Angela, of doing stuff on your own. Woo! My God. And I used the three ways that Jesus, was tempted by the enemy to do it in his own strength, to do it without God, to be tempted into the things of the world. So I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to resist the devil and he'll flee. So that means I got to know and have the word of God inside of me. So then when I do those things, I position myself in a place of prayer for God to heal my land, or for God to heal. And when I read this scripture, I don't even take this scripture as just the government or the education system. I'm like, Lord, if I humble myself and pray, Jordan, Dietrich, you're going to heal this land. Woo! You're going to heal this heart, because this heart can be evil. Woo! You're going to heal what's inside of me. Yeah, that's when I was meditating this morning. You're going to heal what's inside of me. When I place myself in a place of continuously seeking you, what you're going to do is begin to heal what's inside of me and deal with the things that's inside of me that's not like you. Oh, my God. You're going to begin to deal. You're going to begin to heal me, heal my heart, heal the things, heal the stuff that I've been married to or paralyzed by, or truths that I've held on to that are not your truths. You're going to begin to give me a new image. Ooh, come on. A new mindset. My mind is going to begin to come the mind of Christ. I'm going to have a new image of my righteousness and who you call me to be in Christ Jesus. So when we humble ourselves, come on, we've been quoting this for so long. When we humble ourselves, my God, and pray, then we open up the opportunity and we seek his face and we turn from his evil ways. We open up the opportunity to call on the name of God. Oh, my God. To call on his name, not just when we in trouble. We can call on his name before the trouble starts. Ooh, we can invite God in. Oh, my God. We can invite God in personally. Oh, my God. To heal the broken places inside of us. We can invite God in to bring us to a place of whole, because you already whole. You accepted Jesus Christ, you're already whole. You just got to renew our minds and leave those things that may put us in a position that will hinder us. Ooh, my God, and walk into an authority that God has given us in Christ Jesus. I hope that ministers to you today. I hope that brings you into a place of how important it is for you to seek God's face, for you to seek God's face, to for you to be in more of his presence. There is something that happens when we pray that does not happen when we do not pray. Woo! There is just something. And then Romans reminds us that Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Oh my God, Lord, teach us how to pause and pray. We don't need to respond to everything in life. Teach us how to pause and pray. Teach us how to walk in your will and your way. Teach us how to effectively communicate with you so that we can be healed, so that we can be whole, so that we can be sovereign, so that we can walk in your, experience your sovereignty and walk in your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Jesus, that is so powerful. Lord, thank you, Father God. We already bear his name. You bear his name because of Jesus. Come on now. And we're going to walk in a humility. Lord, my God, I'm going to insert my dependence and ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me the places in which I have been independent of God. Ooh, he revealed something to me this morning. Like I'm sitting here going, repenting. He revealed something to me this morning. He was like, show up and do what I ask you to do. Stop making a little list. Just show up and do what I ask you to do. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love that. See, Marie said, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful exchange, taking all my brokenness and giving me your love, power, and peace. And that's exactly what he does. He will give you his love. He will give you his power. He will give you his peace. Anytime we enter into a place where it says, be anxious for nothing, everything in prayer and supplication, making our requests known before God. Remember, I taught you the other day, doesn't mean the problem goes away, but the peace of that passes all understanding pulls us into a place to remind us, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, we are with God. Debbie, I love what you said. Father, help me to be a doer of your word and not just a hearer. Going and giving praise. Few things, and then we're going to get out of here. A few things. I want to give you something today. Oh, my God. I want you tomorrow, as soon as this is released, go pick up 30 Days of Prayer, Targeting Our Children's Lives. It's a 30-day devotional. Take it slow. Don't try to eat it all at one time. Small bites still equal a meal. Day by day, pull yourself into a quiet place and learn how to pray for your children, or just learn how to center yourself in children. Children are probably perhaps the place that worries us the most. This isn't just for little kids. You can do this for your adult children as well. Go pick up 30 Days of Prayer. It'll be released tomorrow. You can purchase it online on our website. It'll be available on Amazon in a few weeks, but this first round will come from our website. So go do that. Go get 30 Days of Prayer tomorrow. Oh my God, Lord, I thank you. The next thing I want to do is invite you to give. If the Lord places on your heart to give, just pause for a second. Lord, do you want me to partner with this ministry through financial gifts? If the Lord places it on your heart, he's going to say yes, right? So once he says yes, go over to the website, lmjministries.org. And if he doesn't say yes, it's okay. Or if you don't have it to give, that's okay too. Pray for this ministry. Your prayers for this ministry mean more than you know. Go over to lmjministries.org. You can give there, or you can cash app us, $LMJMINISTRY. Lord, bless the giving of your people today. Thank you that multiplication increase is on their life by way of faith. Lord God, we just thank you that your faith shines upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. And then the second thing I'm going to ask you to do today, I have to speak to about 450 kids at school today. Pray my strength. Pray that my words are God's words as I go before these young people. Pray that if they have yet to give their life to Jesus Christ, that this is the day that they give their life to Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to them today at chapel. So pray that for me. And then my last thing, which is probably the most important thing that I want to offer you, because I don't want to assume today that everybody knows Jesus. I don't want to assume everybody knows Jesus. So today, what I'm asking you to do is pause for just a second. And if the Lord is speaking, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, here's what I need you to do. I need you to make this statement of faith. It begins with a statement of faith telling you, I need you to hear me in this. I really didn't get saved until I was 27. I was in church. I was not saved. And my life reflected not being saved. And so at 27, I would come to know a man who would change my life. And that man is Jesus. So I want to offer you the opportunity, but it started with a confession of faith. And if that's you, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm asking you to come into my heart to take away my sins. I promise to love and follow you best I can. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email, info@justbeinglmj.com, and we're going to send you some resources and materials. And I want you to continue to show up here so I can continue to disciple you. Thank you, Miss Eiler. Yeah, let every child have ears to hear. I love you. God loves you. I love you. God loves you. I love you. But God loves you so much more. Do me a favor. Go be loved today. Let someone else experience. This is the greatest commandment, to love. It's the greatest commandment to love. Go be loved today. Let someone else experience the love of God through you. I love you. See you in the morning, 6 a.m. Love, peace, and blessings. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Oh, my God. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Nakisha. Thank you, thank you.